Iran's IRGC begins major ground and air military exercise. Deputy Chairman of Iranian Armed Forces, Chief of Staff, says Iran will never give in to threats and pressure. Iran installs 180 centrifuges at Natanz facility. Iran's Secretary of Supreme National Security Council stressed on the country's absolute right in acquiring all out nuclear technology. And bombing rooms, Iraqi governor kills provincial elections candidate. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iran in English News with me, Nimanch Itzans. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, IRGC, has begun a major ground and air military exercise that covers the eastern parts of the country. The Great Prophet 8 military exercise began on Saturday. The eastern areas that the drill covers include the cities of Kerman, Sidis, and Sirjan. At the first stage of the three-day maneuver, the IRGC ground forces attacked mock enemy positions using intelligence provided by surveillance drones. The Great Prophet 8 drill is aimed at exercising various techniques and tactics by implementing principles of passive defense and asymmetric warfare. The ground forces will use the IRGC's latest military innovation in the upcoming stages. Over the past few years, Iran has held several military drills to enhance the defense capabilities of its armed forces and to test modern military tactics and equipment. Deputy Chairman of Iranian Armed Forces, Chief of Staff, says the Islamic Republic will never give in to Western threats and pressures. Brigadier General Massoud Jazairi said it is impossible that the Islamic Republic will ever stop pursuing its goals, ideals, and policies as a result of pressure. The Iranian commander further said the Islamic Republic's steady progress has proved the futility of the enemy's moves. Jazairi added, today the Iranian nation has achieved the necessary potential to easily overcome difficulties. He said the doctrine of using pressure to change the behavior of independent countries and political entities has expired. Referring to the U.S.-led way and atrocities around the world, the Iranian commander said, the technologies which are used by the terrorist groups will finally enable them to threaten the U.S. interests. In a second annual gathering of Iran's nuclear industry managers, Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council stressed on the country's absolute right in acquiring all-out nuclear technology. On the threshold of Iran's upcoming talks with the P5+1, Saeed Jalili urged the group to enter negotiations with a new approach and credible suggestions. Head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran says more than 180 second-generation centrifuges have been installed at Natanz nuclear facility. Fayez Navasi said the number of machines which would be installed are more, and the rest of them would be gradually installed. Navasi said that a news about new centrifuges has been leaked to foreign media outlets because the intelligence and security sections of the International Atomic Energy Agency are not safe and cannot prevent such leaks. On February 13, Abbasi noted that the IR2M centrifuges had been developed for enrichment below 5% and cannot be used in 20% enrichment. Meanwhile, Atomic Energy Organization of Iran announced that the Islamic Republic has designated 16 nuclear power sites. In a statement released on Saturday, the AEOI said, following months of efforts, 16 new sites for nuclear power plants have been designated in coastal areas of the Caspian Sea, the Persian Gulf, the Sea of Oman, southwestern province of Khuzestan, and northwestern part of the country. It added the projects are in line with Iran's long-term plans to develop electricity generation via nuclear power plants and in accordance with the standard and international regulations. The organization also said Iran has discovered more uranium deposits to further improve its position among countries possessing nuclear technology. The governor of Iraq's eastern province of Dala has been wounded in a car bombing which killed two of his guards and injured six others. Police said the attack occurred when the bomber detonated an explosives-laden vehicle at Governor Omar al-Humayri's house in the provincial capital city of Bakupa. No group has yet claimed responsibility for the attack, but militants affiliated with al-Qaeda are commonly blamed for such attacks in Iraq. Also on Saturday, Sheikh Hassan Hadi al-Janabi, a provincial elections candidate in Babil province, was killed by a magnetic sticky bomb south of Baghdad. Violence has increased in Iraq since December 2011, when an arrest warrant was issued for fugitive Vice President Tariq al-Hashemi. Among Iraqi regions, Baghdad and Diyala have the highest per capita rate of civilian deaths in the country. A Palestinian protester has been shot in the stomach in clashes with Zionist settlers from a settlement near a village in the occupied West Bank. The 24-year-old Palestinian was hit by a live round on Saturday as settlers from Ish Kodesh clashed with Palestinians from the village of Gosra. Settlers threw rocks at Palestinians and destroyed their olive trees. Two other Palestinians were also wounded after they were hit by rubber bullets fired by Zionist regime forces who were sent to the scene. The clashes came as the occupied West Bank has been witnessing a rise in protests against the Tel Aviv regime and in support of the several thousand Palestinian prisoners held in Zionist regime prisons. A Palestinian prisoner held at a Zionist regime's prison has reportedly died once again, bringing to the attention of the world the plight of these captives in Zionist jails. Palestinian Prisoner Society sources said the detainee was pronounced dead at Zionist regime's Megiddo prison on Saturday. However, there still has been no official report on the cause of the death. The Palestinian Authority Minister for Prisoners Affairs identified a prisoner as Arafat Jaradat. Zionist officials said the 30-year-old Palestinian died of heart attack. More than 4,500 Palestinian prisoners are held in Zionist regime prisons, many of them without charge or trial. At least three people have been killed in clashes between Yemeni security forces and protesting separatists in two cities in the country's troubled south. Yemeni officials said a policeman was killed and another wounded in clashes when security forces intervened after gunmen from the Southern Movement blocked roads in the port city of Aden on a Saturday. Government troops also shot dead a pro-secession activist in the city earlier in the day. Two other activists were also wounded in the incident. The separatist Southern Movement confirmed that the victims belonged to the group. Meanwhile, police reportedly killed another protester in the town of Gail Bawazir in Hadhramaut province also on Saturday, when similar clashes occurred. The Southern Movement said protesters were angry at the Thursday's massacre in which security forces opened fire on pro-independence protesters in Aden, killing five people and injuring a dozen others. Now people have held a fresh demonstration against the Al Saud regime in Saudi Arabia, demanding the immediate release of political prisoners. The demonstrators took to the streets in the city of Qatif in Saudi Arabia's oil-rich eastern province. The anti-regime protesters also urged the retribution for those who have attacked peaceful demonstrators in the past. Earlier on Wednesday, a similar demonstration was also held in Qatif, with people protesting against the detention of protesters. Since February 2011, protesters have held demonstrations on an almost regular basis in Saudi Arabia, mainly in Qatif and the town of Avamiya in Eastern Province. The protesters primarily called for the release of all political prisoners, freedom of expression and assembly, and an end to widespread discrimination. However, the demonstrations have turned into protests against Al Saud regime, especially since November 2011, when security forces killed five protesters and injured many others in the province. And here's a recap of the main stories. Iran's IRGC begins major ground and air military exercise. Deputy Chairman of Iranian Armed Forces Chief of Staff says Iran will never give in to threats and pressure. Iran installs 180 centrifuges at Natanz facility.
Iran's Secretary of Supreme National Security Council expressed on the country's absolute right in acquiring all-out nuclear technology. And bombing wounds Iraqi governor kills provincial elections candidate. Greece's economy is in its sixth year of a crushing recession that has caused unemployment to soar to 27%, the highest jobless rate in Europe. The government is desperate to attract tourism in the hopes of reviving the economy. A correspondent in Athens has a scoop.
The Greek economy is currently going through its fifth year of protracted recession, with rising unemployment currently hovering over 27% and the debt-to-GDP ratio at 180%. Many people in the country are looking into ways to move beyond the debt-strapped economic stagnation that has led to a deep financial slump and the deterioration of living conditions. Culinary tourism is one of these great ideas that many are willing to embrace in order to make ends meet and, why not, create new value for themselves and their families. New studies have estimated that Greek gastronomy could bring in more than 500,000 more tourists who want to taste the country's best and boost the country's GDP by more than 1 billion euros while creating 50,000 jobs. Tourism already contributes more than 60% to the Greek GDP and 18% in the employment workforce of the country. Despite that, people think that oftentimes the government is not doing enough to promote tourism in the country and that there is more to do in order to put new emphasis on alternative forms of tourism and thus financial receipts. In this context, new data came out of the 8th Horeca exhibition, the leading trade show for the hospitality and food service industry. As a part of the event organized by the Association of Greek Tourist Enterprises entitled Gastrotourism, Food for Development, new businessmen are trying to highlight the importance of the campaign to find financial resources for gastronomy in the marketing of Greek tourism. With a fresh look on many and great habits, the new alternative business elite of the country is vowing to fix the economic woes of Greece. With unemployment rising in the country and currently hovering over 27% within the general population, alternative forms of business are currently gaining more and more interest among the Greek people. Gastronomy has already attracted hundreds of tourism into Greece, and as such, a new trend, the gastronomical tourism, is currently gaining more and more traction in the Greek capital and the islands. Lucas Germanos, Shabaka Kabar, Athens.
Thousands of people marched on Spain's parliament in Madrid on Saturday to protest against austerity measures imposed by the government. The demonstration took place on the 32nd anniversary of a failed attempt by the armed forces to overthrow the government. Several protest groups joined forces under a single slogan called Citizens Tide 23F. Referring to the February 23, 1981 attack by armed forces on Spain's parliament.
We are all very unhappy. We think the measures adopted by the government are wrong, especially because at the time of elections they did not say they would adopt such measures.
Not only are they failing to improve our rights, but they're getting rid of things we've fought for many years.
Germany's Commerzbank AG plans to cut 1,800 jobs by the end of 2015 in a bid to slash costs and revamp ailing retail businesses. According to a statement released by the Germany's second biggest bank, the cuts will be done on the basis of mutual agreements between employees and the bank officials. This comes after the Frankfurt-based Commerzbank issued a statement on January 23 saying, overall, the bank is assuming that 4,000 to 6,000 jobs will be cut group-wide by 2016. The exact number will be determined in negotiations with employee representatives that are likely to start in February. The layoffs signify the impact of the Eurozone crisis on the bank. Commerzbank, like other European banks, has struggled with the economic downturn in Europe. Shia Muslims in Pakistan have called for the trial of the head of the Lashkar-e-Jhangvi terrorist group following the recent deadly bombings targeting their community. Leader of Pakistan's Hazara Democratic Party, Abdul Khaliq Hazara, said,
We have always been demanding arrest of all those involved in any act of sectarian violence, irrespective of their party affiliation. The remarks was made a day after police arrested head of the outlawed Lashkar-e-Jangwi, Malik Asag, on Friday. Hazar Assad, Asag must be brought to justice and punished for involvement in violence. Violence has been on the rise against Pakistan's Shia Muslims, who make up 20% of the country's 180 million strong population. And finally, the U.S. has set up a new drone base in Niger, reportedly aimed at fighting Al-Qaeda and its affiliates in Africa and helping French troops in their war in Mali. A report by the New York Times revealed that the U.S. deployed a number of Predator drones to Niger, suggesting a shift in Washington's anti-terrorism efforts towards Africa. On Friday, U.S. President announced that 100 U.S. military personnel were sent to Niger to provide support for intelligence collection and to facilitate intelligence sharing with French forces conducting operations in Mali. U.S. officials say for now the Predator drones are unarmed and serve surveillance purposes only, but may be used to carry out missile strikes in the future if needed. Predator drones and Raptor drones are known as the weapon of choice of the CIA in Pakistan and Yemen. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of Iranian and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.